Welcome, Baha Sadr. You are Director of Refugee Resettlement at Dorcas International Institute of Rhode Island, and you have brought Ali, who is from Iraq. We're not going to use your last name to protect your identity. Baha, let's start with you. Help us understand how President Donald Trump's travel ban, which affects seven Muslim-majority countries, has affected your clients. Give us an overview.
Sure. Well, we had about nine cases actually scheduled to arrive during this period. And six of them were rejected or they were deleted. And some of these cases have been waiting as many as 16 years to be admitted to this country. So they, like one case, for instance, there were three brothers and they were from Somalia and they were planning to come to the United States. They got their clearance. They fled their country of origin in 1992, 93. In the year 2000, they registered with UNHCR. And since 2000, they've been waiting. And in 2016, their travel was granted. So when somebody is basically granted to travel, that means they usually have like about a month notice. They give up everything that they have. You know, in 16 years, they collected items. They probably had a place, you know, to live and everything else. So they got rid of all that and they were ready to come here for, you know, to begin to rebuild their lives. And when they can't travel indefinitely, they don't know when they may be able to travel. Is it going to be 3 months, 4 months? Because they have no place to go back to. Mm-hmm. And wherever they go back to, it's not a living condition.
So they're in limbo right
they're
now.
They're in limbo. And there are many people like that. That's just mm-hmm. one instance. So this is just to explain the vetting process, how long it can be. You know, it's not necessarily 18 months, because 18 months is minimum. So it could be as long as 16 years for this case. There are thousands of people who have been approved. It impacts them, also impacts refugees who are here and they're expecting their relatives and family members to come here. So they are all in limbo.
And Ali, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. You are from Iraq originally. Tell us your story. How did you come to the United States?
Actually, I live been here almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. I came here to America when I'm applied for the SIV.
What is the SIV?
SIV, it's mean special immigration visa.
Okay.
That's just for, not for all the people, that just for the people who helps the U.S. Army when they came to my country. So I worked many years with the U.S. Army. I worked with the company for transportation. We have contract with the U.S. Army to deliver all the materials, container. So my position at that time, it's liaison officer. So I work same like supervisor, you can say supervisor or an interpreter for the all the between my company and the U.S. Army. And
you put yourself and your family risk by doing
risk.
That.
Exactly, exactly. And many times when I went with a mission in a mission with the U.S. Army, there's many bombing, many cars destroyed. So anyway, so I came by this procedure here to United States with my wife and my daughters, and I have another daughter in my country because she's married, and I applied for her to bring it to her. But, you know, this procedure takes a long time, and I'm waiting to her now.
And has this recent executive order from President Trump halted the process? Is she unable to come now?
Yeah. My wife now is very sad, and she's very absent, and she said, what we can do now? I told her, we should waiting, same like all the people, so that we are worried about what's happened now. Yeah.
And your daughter in Iraq and her husband, are you worried for their safety because of the work that you did?
Exactly. Absolutely. Because there is no safety in Iraq. And all, most of the Iraqi families now, they leave our homes, our furniture, our money, and they went to Turkish or Jordan to be safe. Mm-hmm. And they apply to come to America they want to be safety in America, and they want another country to get the safe.
So there's a lot of waiting and worrying for your family, Ali.
Yeah.
Bahasadh from Dorcas International Institute of Rhode Island, I want to bring you back into the conversation as well. Is Ali's story common? Do you have other clients, people you're waiting to resettle who are in similar positions?
Well, every story is different. Again, you know, in Ali's case, he actually was helping U.S. government. He was helping U.S. Army. He is trying to bring his family here, and there are some family members here already. So that's very common with a lot of the refugees, that mm-hmm. when one member of the family gets granted for resettlement, they come here, they basically start their lives, and they stabilize, and then they are able to bring other relatives if they are, you know, they still have to go through the vetting process, and I can, you know, kind of tell you what that vetting process looks
sure.
like. Refugees already go through like a really long vetting process. They must pass through a series of security screenings, including biometric checks, medical screenings, forensic document testing, and in-person interviews. How many in-person interviews did you have, Ali? There are so many of them. There are probably like just with UN, there's one. There are several with the U.S. government. The information that's examined and it's confirmed that it's refugees' identity is accurate. It's checked against law enforcement and intelligence databases, including those of National Counterterrorism, Homeland Security, Department of Defense, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Department of State. And if there's any doubt about who a refugee is, he or she will not be admitted to the United States.
So a lot of people waiting. What do you tell your clients in the meantime? Hold on, hang in there. We have to wait and see what happens.
So we have, fortunately, we have a very strong community support. Mm-hmm. And the community comes out, helps us with the resettlement process. They offer their assistance, help integrate the community, refugee community, into the fabric of the community by just offering jobs. You know, there are many employers who basically work with us. Mm-hmm. They offer their help. And really, refugees, when they come here, because their goal is to stabilize, they stabilize the community as well. So they get involved immediately with employment and training, looking for work, participating in community initiatives. They want this community to be a better place for themselves and their families that are around them. But then again, you know, they're always worrying about the loved ones back home.
Right. Ali, what is next for you and your family?
Actually, we are same all the families. Mm-hmm. We feel bad. So we will wait what they can do. We hope to delete it, to cancel that issue. And I told you before, all the families, they came, they just looking for the safe for him and for his family. For me, I'm looking for a safe to me and my family. I want to be with the future to my daughters here. Now they are in school and high school. They want to get college, good college. So that's my plan.
Ali, thank you so much for sharing your
You're
story.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Bahasadh from Dorcas International Institute, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story as well.
Great, thank you.